Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have written it for our understanding and to bring us closer to you. And so we pray, Lord, as we look at your word together this morning, that you will open our hearts to receive all that you want to give to us. And we thank you, Father, that you want to give to us much more than we can ever dream of. And so we pray, Lord, that this morning we will grow in Christ and that he may be glorified in and through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you've ever noticed with someone that you're very close to that often you say the same thing at the same time, or you thought the same thing about a situation which you later shared with them. John and I often do that. And in the marriage service, of course, it tells us that two shall become one. So in a sense, over many years, this can result in almost speaking with one voice. Well, this leads me, of course, to our topic today. Our belief as Christians that we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but one God, where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are truly one, the triune God. And in the Athanasian Creed, which, if you remember from what I said last week, was one that came later and expands on the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, it says this: we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the divine being. For is that there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Spirit. But the Godhead of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is all one, their glory equal, their majesty co-eternal. Well, not an easy concept, is it? So don't turn off. Let's try together. Well, Jesus himself, of course, commanded us to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And of course, that's what we do today when, whether it's a child or an adult, is baptized. And if we look at our reading in John's Gospel, we see that God has always been in relationship. And when Jesus is speaking, chapter 17 and verse 20, he talks about the Father and him being one. Actually, in this passage, what he's doing is appealing for the followers of Jesus to be united, to be one. And if you remember from what I said last week, one of the reasons for the creeds is to unite Christians throughout the world in one Catholic faith. Not Roman Catholic, Catholic meaning worldwide faith. And this is what Jesus is saying here: be united together. But as an example to help them to understand that, what he's saying is, just as the Father and I are one, I want you to be one. The Bible, of course, in 1 John, the letter from John, it tells us that God is love. And we would all subscribe to that. But love can't exist without a relationship. And so again, it's confirming that God is love, but he is God in three persons. And Jesus himself, in chapter 14, talks about the Holy Spirit. In John 14, he says that the Holy Spirit, he is a person too. And very often we forget that because we often say the Holy Spirit. But he is a person. And Jesus said he can be called a helper or a comforter. And then John goes on to say in verse 16, and Jesus says he comes from the Father too. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working together our plan of salvation. But this isn't just a New Testament belief. If we look at the beginning of the Bible, right at the very beginning, and I'm not using the NRSV today because I'm not very happy with their translation of it, so I'm using the ESV or the NIV. It says in Genesis 1, very beginning of our Bible, in the beginning God. In the beginning God. And usually when that term is used, we're thinking of God the Father. But then it goes on in verses 1 to 3. I'll read them. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. So God was there before creation of the heaven and the earth. But in verse 3 it says, and God said, let there be light, the word of God. Who is known as the word of God? Jesus. Do you remember in John's gospel? I'll look it up just to so I can read it, but I think I know it off by heart, but I will read it. Every year at my speech day, we used to, our head teacher used to read this. I can still see her now. Standing there reading these. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who's that? Jesus. So at the beginning of Genesis, we have God the Father, and we have the Word of God, Jesus. He's there at the beginning, before the heavens and earth were created. And in verse 2, it says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So the very beginning of our Bible, we have a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1:26, it says, let us make man in our own image. Again, showing that there is more than one person. In Genesis 3:22, behold, the man has become like one of us. One of us, the Godhead, three persons. So right from Genesis to Revelation, we have the fact that the Bible states that God is one but three persons. And of course, I could find lots more references. But also at the same time in the Old Testament, what does it say? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So three persons, but one God. Again in Isaiah, I am the Lord and there is no other. Now it is a difficult concept, the idea of a triune God. And we'll never fully understand it. So we don't need to worry about that, because how would we understand it? Because this is God and we are mere humans. Three persons, one being. And there have been lots of ways of trying to explain it. And I've used some of them too. But all of them have drawbacks. None of them really can sum up what it means to be one being and three persons. They can help us at an elementary level. But if they're taken to the extreme, they become heresy and false teaching. So with any analogy that we use, we need to be very careful. For example, sometimes to explain the Trinity, we have the idea of the three-leaf clover. Maybe you've heard that one. One clover, but three parts. But the problem with that is that one of those parts is never fully the clover leaf. It's only part of it. Whereas the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are always fully God. So, yeah, maybe it helps on one level. One of them that I often use is the idea of H2O, which can be water, which can be ice, and which can be gas, steam. H2O, one being, one substance, if you like. But again, that H2O can't be all three things at the same time. And it misses out the idea of personality. But maybe it helps at an elementary level, the idea of one substance. And then sometimes people talk about one person being a father, a husband, and a son at the same time. Yeah, that's fine, but that's only one person, and they can't have that relationship. So again, it is helpful to an extent, but none of them can be taken to their extreme. And we need to be careful. One of the closest things, of course, that is talked about in the Bible to help us is this idea of father and son. Distinct persons, but a close relationship. But again, on a human level, we only can understand that in two entirely separate human beings. So we have to come back to what the Bible says. And the Bible says God is three persons. Each person is fully God. And there is one God. However, what we can see is that the persons of the Trinity, the Godhead, have different primary functions as they relate to the world. And we have this in the first passage that was read to us in Ephesians, which was Ephesians 1. If you want to turn to it. And here in this passage, we see that God the Father has planned our salvation. In verses 3 and 4, even he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, according to the purposes of his will. God the Father, this whole plan of salvation. And then we have Jesus. In verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. And we understand that too, through the work of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection. And then further down in that same passage in verse 13, we have the Holy Spirit at work, sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit applies salvation to our hearts and lives. He enables us to have faith. He works in our hearts. That prayer that we said, the very first prayer we said this morning, Almighty God, and we talk about the work of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, all in one prayer. And so what does it mean for us? Well, last week I said that one of the purposes of having a creed was a doxological purpose to help us in our worship. And that's what it does. Our understanding, limited though it is, helps us to worship. We know that we can come to God as our Father. We can call him Abba, Daddy. We know that we come to him through Jesus. And that's why we pray in Jesus' name. One of the things I'm very keen on when I was working in school, that we say we pray in Jesus' name. We're not just praying to a God somewhere up there. We're praying to our God, creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father through him. So that's why we say, we pray in Jesus' name. And we ask the person of the Holy Spirit to help us to understand the truth. Jesus said, when I've gone up to be with the Father, the Holy Spirit, he will help you to understand the scriptures. And so as I open my Bible and I pray, please, Holy Spirit, help me, give me understanding in head and heart. Because Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, he will lead us into all truth. And he will dwell in you and we be with you. The Holy Spirit, he is our helper. And so we can thank God for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. We'll never fully understand what it means to have such a God. But we know enough about him to trust and believe God's word. From Genesis to Revelation, we have a triune God. And so as the Athanasian Creed says, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one. A God, as I said last week, in relationship within the Godhead, but a God who draws you and me into a relationship with him. And the whole of the Godhead working for that purpose, to draw you and me into relationship with him, so we can come to the great God of creator of heaven and earth and say, Abba, Father, we come to you. Christianity is completely unique in this, that we have a God we can call Father. We have Jesus, God, who we can call our Savior and friend. And the Holy Spirit, we can call our helper. How wonderful is that? May we live each day in God's presence. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.